بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, at the beginning of Surah At-Tawbah, we had mentioned that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم had made a declaration of disassociation, that any tribes that we had any pact, any agreement with, we are now declaring that we disassociate from you. And moving forward, after a grace period of 4 months, there will be no longer any arrangement, any peace treaty between us and you. And this announcement was made in the 9th year after Hijrah, which was 1 year before the Hajjatul Wada'. And on this particular year, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to Makkah Mukarramah to perform Hajj, to lead the Hajj. And with him, a few Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Amongst them was Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, and he was tasked with making this announcement. So he then, in full view of everybody in public, made this announcement that we are disassociating from any tribes that we may have had any pacts with. And the second announcement that he made was that after this year, no mushrik, no idol worshipper will be permitted to perform Hajj any longer. We know the Quraysh and the Arabs of Makkah particularly were idol worshippers, mushrikeen. So the announcement was made that from next year, from the following year, no mushrik will be permitted to perform Hajj. So the reason for this is mentioned in this particular verse, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, Allah addresses the believers, O people of Iman, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ. The mushrikun, the idol worshippers, are in reality najas. Najas means impure or impurity. Why are they called impurity in itself? Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah has mentioned that there are three angles to this when it comes to impurity, when it comes to dirt in Sharia. One is physical impurity, something which in itself is impure, dirty. Stool, feces, wine for a believer is something impure. So the mushrikeen, they do not make istinja, therefore they may have traces of dirt on their bodies. Likewise, they consume wine, they eat carrion, they do not bother about the animal being slaughtered correctly. So physically there is impurity attached to them. The second angle he mentions is ritual impurity, or what we call the state of impurity. A Muslim, he takes a ghusl, he makes wudu, and therefore he cleanses himself. But the mushrik, they do not understand these concepts. So ritually also they are regarded as impure. And the third angle, which is the most serious one, and which is perhaps intended in this verse, is spiritual impurity. The mu'min is pure due to having iman, and the mushrik is impure due to associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says the mushrik is najas, he is impure. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. Therefore, after this year, they should not come close to al-masjid al-haram. And what is meant, as we mentioned, is that they will not be permitted to perform hajj, to perform umrah, to make tawaf around the baytullah, due to their spiritual impurity. They do not have the right to come here. And then Allah addresses the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that after this ruling has been given, remember at that time Makkah Mukarramah was not known for its produce. It would not produce much vegetation, fruit. Rather it would rely on imports, and especially during the Hajj season. People would come from all over Arabia and from other lands, and they would import fruit, vegetation, etc. And this is the reason that Makkah Mukarramah would always be found having the best of fruit. But it did not have any natural produce. So naturally, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were fearful that if we cut off access to the mushrikeen, then what will happen to the importing? That we will now no longer have these goods coming in. So Allah says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً. If you fear poverty, فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنْ شَاءَ. Then soon Allah will enrich you from His bounties, if He wishes. In other words, Allah does not rely on the external means, whether you have imports coming in or not, whether you allow these mushrikeen businessmen to come and to bring in their produce from other lands or not, Allah will still provide for you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah is most knowledgeable, most wise. So this was the ruling with regard to the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, the polytheists of the Arabian Peninsula. They were not permitted to remain in the haram area or the boundaries of Makkah Mukarramah. With regard to the Ahl Kitab, the Jews and Christians, they were permitted to enter on condition they were subservient to the Muslims. In other words, they would agree to become citizens of our country, but they would have to pay jizya, which is a tax that they pay to be allowed to continue practicing their deen and living in an Islamic state. So this is what is mentioned. قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that fight those who do not believe in Allah, وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, nor do they believe in the last day, وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ, they do not deem unlawful that which Allah has made unlawful, وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ, and they do not adopt or accept the deen of truth, which is Islam. So fight them, مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابِ, those who were given the book, the Jews and Christians who do not believe, fight them, حَتَّى يُعْتُوا الْجِزْيَةِ, until they agree to pay the jizya, عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. And two clauses have been mentioned, that they must pay the jizya عَنْ يَدٍ. عَنْ يَدٍ means whilst willingly submitting to you. So they must pay it not as taking it to be some charity or something from the kindness of their heart that they are paying, but they must do it out of submission, that we acknowledge the superiority and the power of Islam, and we are now forced to pay this. وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ, and they should do this while being humbled. They will not be given the upper hand over the Muslims in a Darul Islam, in an Islamic state. So these are the two groups that were mentioned regarding the Islamic state of Arabia at that time, during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba, that the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they were expelled from the Arabian Peninsula. They were not allowed to remain there because they had committed the greatest crime of ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as other kuffar were concerned, people of the book, Jews, Christians, they were permitted to remain within the Arabian Peninsula, within the Islamic state, provided they paid the jizya. And when we look into the books of fiqh, we realize the jizya is a very, very minimal tax, a very small amount that they are required to pay. And the justice and fairness of Islam is that we then give them all the rights of a Muslim citizen. The same rights that a Muslim citizen enjoys in the Darul Islam, they will also enjoy. We will allow them to practice their deen, of course not in public, but we allow them to have their places of worship, their churches, synagogues, etc. They are allowed to worship in their homes, and they will be respected in the sense that their lives will be protected, their wealth will be protected. So this is the justice, the fairness of Islam. Generally we hear this, that every single person in the world has to become a Muslim. This is not practical, not possible. Yes, the desire should be that as many people as possible we spread the deen of Islam to. But Islam does recognize living even with the non-Muslims, provided, and this is very important, provided they remain subservient to us. Not that all deens, all religions are equal. This is not some interfaith agreement or something like this. But they will have to live subservient to Islam and the Muslims. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.